Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown, and we were supposed to have the full crew for y'all, but we were joking with Yanka last time about him going to see Black Panther way too many times, and like maybe that's why his internet cut out and stuff. And then he actually went to go see Black Panther this afternoon, and that is why he's not with us today. But it's all right. We will push through. We will persevere. We got our man, QB1, feeling a little bit better than he was the last time, I'm thinking here. JR, my man, how's it going? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, voice is starting to come back a little bit, starting to get back on my feet a little bit, so I'm good to go.
There you go. It's coming back. You're sounding strong. And Miles, you made it. You're almost all the way through the weekend. Is there any food left in the house? Were you able to keep yourself, you know, mostly in good health?
Real talk, I kind of probably eaten out most of my meals. But no, it's been good. My family's up yesterday, so it was good to go out to eat with them and see them. And it's been good with Teddy.
Okay, all right. When you and Yinka hitting the basketball court, though?
When he's done watching Black Panther for the 10th time.
Yeah, all right. So never. All right, well, we will. This episode, we're really going to talk about free agency, and we've talked about it a couple different ways. JR has given us kind of his thoughts on how he would go about dealing with free agency. Miles, you broke down the offense. Yinka broke down the defense. But we're going to look at things a little bit differently, talk about some players on the team. You know, should they stay? Should they go? And kind of go position by position and, you know, talk about the players that are out there, talk about the players on the roster, and really, you know, get y'all ready for, legal tampering and free agency and all that other fun stuff that's coming up this week. So with that said, we'll go ahead and jump right in here. And we're going to go kind of rapid fire through these here. We don't need to give a lot of explanation. But JR, Latavius Murray, should he stay or should he go?
He should go. I think he's a guy that's easily replaceable. Yes, his production was good. As far as the amount of carries that he had, I think Jerick McKinnon was a better option because he was a better fit in Pat Shurmur's offense. And, of course, he didn't have the volume stats because he didn't get the amount of carries. And he wasn't fed the amount of times that Latavius Murray was, but he was way more efficient in my eyes. And I'm sure the numbers back that up as well. I'll leave that to you, Jason. I know you're big numbers guys, but from the eye test wise, it looks like McKinnon was more efficient. And I felt like they stole a lot of moments from McKinnon last year, especially in the red zone. They really relied on Latavius Murray being that goal line guy when Jerick McKinnon was really capable of doing the same exact stuff that he was doing. And I know a game that really comes to mind was the Packers game in Lambeau. It just seemed like Jerick McKinnon just disappeared and didn't have a role at all in that game. And they just wanted to pound Latavius Murray between the tackles. It's kind of like they were just trying to escape out of that game. And they felt like Latavius Murray was more suited for that game for whatever reason. But I think they should, if he's not willing to restructure his contract, I think they really need to get rid of him because he's just not worth being the fifth highest paid running back in the NFL, which is just ridiculous to me. There is a lot of other options that they can go, a lot of different routes that they can go. I know a popular name right now, he's not a bell cow guy, but J.D. McKissic, that's a name that really comes to mind as far as a change of pace guy if they don't opt to draft the guy. And, I mean, LeGarrette Blount is out there as well, a guy that really has mirror image numbers of Latavius Murray. So I think he's a guy that's easily replaceable, especially with this cap number being as high as it is.
Okay. All right. That was a lot there. So we're not going to you on Latavius. JR gave us all the answers on that one. Miles, you get the next two. Joe Berger, Tom Johnson. Should they stay or should they go?
For me, I think Joe Berger should go just for the simple fact that I think they need to stop plugging that hole with the kind of the Band-Aid. Not that Joe Berger hasn't done a great job the last couple seasons, but I think they need to move on from him. Kind of solidify that interior and solidify that offensive line in general this offseason by going after a younger type offensive lineman. And then in free agency and the draft. And then Tom Johnson, I think based off price for what he's looking for, I think he's going to be gone. I think they would like to have him back, but I think in terms of age, how much they'd probably either need or expect him to play, I think he could get a better offer elsewhere. So I think he's gone too.
Okay. And JR, to the point that you made there, something that I don't think most fans would probably think of off the top of their head, Jerick McKinnon actually had more yards than Latavius Murray this year, just when you combine when you're talking scrimmage yards. And he was a little bit more efficient per touch. On the ground, they were pretty much the same. Latavius was 3.9 yards per carry. Jerick was at 3.8, but yards per touch, McKinnon had the edge there because of what he was able to do in the passing game. And that put him up to 4.9 yards per touch to Lat Murray coming in right around 4. So, yep, I think you're right there. Latavius, that between the tackles grinder skill set is something that I think is easily replaced. And, yeah, he makes way too much money. So, yeah, he can go. And Miles, everything you said is always right. I agree with all that. Good job.
Always. Good job. Wow.
Always. Yeah, always, always.
That's a first.
You know, one day we're going to listen to you, Miles. And today might be the start of that new era, that new day. It's here. We're listening to Miles. All right, so now that I got you guys warmed up, we're ready to go. We're going to jump into this deep dive here. And, of course, you know, much to the chagrin of Saxy Prince, who can't be here, we're going to start off talking about the quarterback position. And, you know, we're talking quarterbacks. Of course, we're going to start with JR talking about the quarterbacks here. So, JR, break it down for us. Vikings roster. Oh, wait, we don't have any quarterbacks to talk about on the roster. Okay, so what are we going to do in free agency about this quarterback situation?
The disrespect to Kyle Slaughter that just happened right now.
My bad. Wow. I'm sorry.
The forgotten man. But, I mean, it seems inevitable at this point that Kirk Cousins is going to wind up in Minnesota. I know there's a lot of reports out there saying he's going to take visits. He's not going to take visits. So I'm just finally happy to get an answer about this whole entire situation. But it does seem inevitable at this point that he will land in Minnesota. I'm interested to see the contract details and exactly the average per year that he does get. I don't really pay attention to the average per year, but I still want to see exactly what it is and how the contract is structured. And this is just assuming he does choose Minnesota. But some other options on the market. You got Josh McCown out there. I think he would be a fine answer if they do bring Case Teddy or Sam back. He would be a guy I would love to come into camp and compete, especially with him coming off a successful year that he had last year with the Jets. The other options really are backups at this point, just not talking about the other three guys who were expected to leave out the door, and Teddy, Case, and Sam Bradford. I mean, it's just a bunch of run-of-the-mill guys. You got Mike Glennon, Chad Henne, Matt Castle, Derek Anderson, and guys of that sort. So there's some experienced backups out there, but there's not a lot of guys who are considered surefire day one starters. And that's why I think they're putting all their eggs in one basket with Kirk Cousins. And, I mean, it's kind of unrealistic to expect Drew Brees to leave New Orleans, but it's kind of fishy that he hasn't agreed to a deal at this point, and the Saints have to incur $18 million of dead money if he's not signed here soon. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens with that Drew Brees situation.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about the quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, we look at the names and, you know, the names outside of the names that we talk about on a fairly regular basis are pretty uninspiring. But if you're going back to a year ago, I mean, the same really could be said about Case Keenum. Like, it wasn't like when we signed him, you know, there were parades and people were super excited about it. I mean, there was a lot of talk through the offseason that Taylor Heinicke was going to beat him out for the backup job. Of any of the quarterbacks that are kind of just sitting out there that potentially could maybe be brought in as a backup on the cheap, are there any of them that you see having the potential to maybe have a, you know, Keenum-like season if, you know, he was able to get in there and play with the weapons that the Vikings have?
Yeah, I think Josh McCown would be that guy. He would probably be that one guy I would put my money on just because we've seen him have some sort of success. I know Keenum was a huge outlier, and he had a huge outlier season, but McCown, I think, could be that guy. But the options are really slim. I'm surprised you didn't push Geno Smith in there. I was really disappointed you didn't say that.
But dream has finally died for Eugene. You know, when Eugene started posting workout videos from last year, this offseason, you know, I started to question my faith a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But Josh McCown probably would be the one guy I would say could have a Keenum-like season.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's, you know, this would have been Yinka, but he ain't here. So, JR, running back. We know. Okay. So, we'll just, we know Latavius Murray, he's here now, but, you know, he's either restructured or gone in your plan. So, just give us your deep dive running back position. Who do we have? What should we do? And then what's out there that's interesting to you?
Yeah. So, I think it's an interesting group of running backs, and we all know about the devaluation of running backs at this point. A lot of teams are altering or changing their offense to more of a committee type approach as opposed to that one bell cow guy. Yes, one guy gets a lion's share of carries in teams' backfield, but it's more of a split. Some teams have two-back committees. Some teams have three-back committees. With John DeFilippo's history with the Browns, he had a two-back approach, and then even in Philly, they broke it up into a three-back approach. And with Dalvin Cook coming back and then Latavius Murray, we'll see what happens with that situation. But let's just say he does restructure his contract and he lowers his cap number to, let's say, $2 or $3 million a year. There is a lot of change of pace backs that would interest me. The first one that comes to mind, obviously, is Deion Lewis, but he's going to cost way too much. I think he's going to end up getting probably Gio Bernard type money. So probably about $5 million a year. I think Gio Bernard got $5.5 million, I think, a year back when he signed his extension with the Bengals. But there is a lot of cheaper options out here. And two that would really interest me is Rex Burkhead. I think he's a guy that could come in and be your change of pace back. He's a guy that can catch out the backfield. He's a very reliable blocker, and you can use him in various types of ways.
Automatic fan favorite right there. He'd be a fan favorite day one.
Already.
Absolutely. another guy that would really interest me is Benny Cunningham. He's bounced around the league a lot, but, you know, he's used to being in that third back role. Last year, I believe he was with Chicago behind Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Well, I don't know exactly what his numbers were, but he did have some plays where he did flash from time to time. So he's used to being that number three back, and he's a guy you could get extremely cheap, probably no more than $1.5 million a year, if that. So he's a guy that I think could come in and maximize his role as a number three back. So those two guys will probably be my top two guys. And I think a wild card probably could be Darren Sproles, but he is coming off an injury-riddled year. I'm not sure exactly what his injury was, but obviously his season was cut short last year with the Eagles. So those would be three guys I definitely would have my eye on.
Okay. And then with the running back position there, you know, this is one of the things that I've seen, and I want to get – I'm going to start with Miles because I know that Miles has had a take on it here. Is that, you know, one of the things Vikings fans keep saying is that, you know, well, with Dalvin coming back, why would we really need to, you know, invest in the running back position or really go out there and spend on a, you know, a good satellite back or any of these things, because Dalvin's just going to come back and get all the carries. JR, you alluded to, you know, John DeFilippo's history of using a committee. I guess if you guys had to kind of handicap it right now, how do you think those carries are going to split out? Do you think we're going to go back to, you know, where it was last year with Dalvin getting everything, or are we going to see something more like what we saw in Philadelphia last year?
I think we'll see more of what happened in Philadelphia, but I think Dalvin will probably have, I'd say, 60% of the workload. So obviously he'll be getting a whole bunch of work, but I think it will be wise of them to limit his touches, especially early on, him coming off that knee injury. And I really want him to be fresh, especially if we're able to make it to the postseason. And you talk about, I mean, Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray, and let's say either a draft pick or someone like, you know, Rex Burkhead. I think that would be a fantastic three-man rotation. And I'm all about keeping those guys fresh, especially, you know, once we get late in the season.
And Miles, what about you? What are your thoughts on how it's going to break out in terms of, you know, the split of carries? I mean, we all saw what Dalvin can do when he gets the ball, you know, in his hand. Are you kind of leaning towards, you know, just, you know, feed the beast, let him do what he can do, and you know, if he breaks down, draft another one? Or are you like JR and looking to kind of spread things out?
I'm definitely in the latter portion of it, where I believe in the running back by committee. I think it will be a heavier dose of Dalvin Cook, just because I think it'll be really hard to not keep him on the field because he's that talented. I think that's the issue that they're going to run into more than anything, is it's not having a three-headed monster. It's more, and like, you know, running that committee, I think it's just more of like the willingness to be able to keep him off the field at times, even though you don't want to. Like we saw it in the first, you know, four games of the season. Latavius was recovering from his ankle surgery still, but so I think he might have had a little bit more opportunity. But at the end of the day, I still think it was going to be Dalvin Cook no matter what. And I think that, you know, it was really hard for them to not keep him on the field, as good as people like Jerick McKinnon are. And, you know, Latavius ended up becoming a little bit, you know, down the road. I think it'll be really hard not to have Dalvin Cook in the game and play him and, you know, all three downs. But like JR alluded to, like you kind of have to have a more of a committee, because you got to get through a full season. It's not just 16 games. If you're looking just to get 16 games out of him, then what's the point? Like, you're looking to get beyond that 16 games, looking for the 17, 18, 19. And you want to get, you know, him as fresh as possible in December, January, you know, in that first weekend in February, if it comes to that. So I believe in the running back by committee. And I think what Jared alluded to is a really good scenario. And I do think Latavius is probably going to be back.
Okay. All right. Miles is bringing Latavius. If you're bringing Latavius back, give me an idea what that contract might look like if it was you bringing him back.
Yeah, I think it's going to either be a restructure or a cut, but I think they'll bring him back. I think he'll want to be back. I think, you know, you kind of settle yourself down into a place, but I could be wrong. But for me, I think what you do is you'd probably just transition a lot of that cap hit into a upfront signing bonus potentially. You know, I don't know how the whole cap situation works in terms of the money you need to pull to lessen the cap hit. But I know it's like upfront guaranteed money, I think, something like that. But I think since he is, if they don't cut him by Friday or restructure or whatever, then he's guaranteed, I think, at least, well, he's definitely guaranteed this season's contract, that $5 million, whatever, $6 million. But I know the third year on that contract is probably around that same, maybe a little less. So I think you try to restructure both years, because you know, you don't want to go into the situation the same thing next year. Or do you kind of structure it to where he takes a little bit more money up front, lowers the cap hit, but then you kind of have another out after this season? I don't really fully know how the stuff works, but I definitely lower his overall cap hit from the six something it is right now to probably in the high threes, low fours, at least try to take at least 2.5 off of it.
Okay. All right. And I know we're talking free agency here, but just kind of, again, talking running backs, talking about it being a position that, you know, A, it's one of the positions that, you know, players transition most quickly from college to the pro game. And then B, you know, draft picks, especially the later round ones, generally are going to be a little bit cheaper than what you're going to find in free agency. If it was up to you guys, and I'll start with you on this one, JR, would you bring in a free agent? I know that you just listed a solid list of names of, you know, value signing type guys that could come in and be really good players right away. If it was you, would you prefer to bring in players like that or some of the guys that you think might be available in the mid rounds, like, you know, the Kalen Balazs and Mark Waltons of the world?
I'd rather draft a guy simply because of the financial structure. I mean, you can bring in a guy like Rex Burkhead for $2 to $3 million a year, or you can bring in a guy like John Kelly or Mark Walton for $500,000 or $600,000. So that's a big difference in price, especially for a position like running back that is being devalued to this point. And I mean, if we're going to sign a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, we're going to have to be penny pinching at some point and try to maximize certain guys' values while still bargain shopping or bargain drafting at the same time. So I would rather draft a guy. And at a position like running back, we've seen that's one of the most easily translatable positions out of any position in a draft. And we're not asking much of our number three running back. So similar to what the Eagles did with Corey Clement last season, I think that's a position you can plug and play immediately and find a guy to fill that role in the mid rounds.
Awesome. Miles, are you in the same way, or you prefer bringing in that veteran in the backfield?
I'm the same way. You got to, you know, save some money where you can, and the running back position is definitely a position where I think you should save some money.
Awesome. 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 Well, JR, next up, it's a position that for whatever reason seems to have been kind of lost in many of the mainstream discussions about the Vikings as we talk about things this offseason. You know, when people look at the Vikings and talk about, you know, we're going to plug Kirk Cousins in and, you know, Super Bowl, baby. One of the things I think we're overlooking a lot is that the Vikings O-line, while it was a lot better than it was in years past, wasn't great. Like, it was over the course of the entire season, it probably averaged out to being, you know, an average offensive line. But one of the things that Case Keenum, you know, and he did get a lot of credit for it in the season. One of the things that made Case Keenum's season as special as it was his ability to avoid pressures turning into sacks, kind of bailing out the offensive line on many occasions and extending plays. And so even though we're not really talking about it a lot, you know, Riley Reiff, you know, nicked up. Remmers was playing awesome. And then, you know, back injuries, and we know how those things go. And he wasn't really very good down the stretch. You know, Elfline, you know, missed time. Easton, missed time. Berger, talking about retirement, coming back, maybe leaving. There's a lot of uncertainty with this unit, and it doesn't seem like we're really talking about it the way that, you know, we had been in years past when it was, you know, kind of all hands on deck. We need to draft or sign every lineman out there. I guess as we go into this free agency period, what are your thoughts on the Vikings offensive line? What are we doing? Who's playing where? And is it possible? Again, you know, we're operating under the assumption that Kirk Cousins is coming to Minnesota, and he does have some deficiencies dealing with pressure. So is it possible in one off season, kind of looking at what's out there in the free agent landscape, to get this offensive line to a place that that you feel comfortable with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, and how are you going about doing it?
Yeah, so this is a tricky situation because I don't think they'll be able to make another headliner signing or tier A or top tier free agent signing if they do go the Cousins route. But on the flip side of that, let's say they re-sign one of the three guys that were here last year, and Sam, Teddy, or Case, I think they will be able to combine that with signing a top tier free agent along with that. So let's talk about the Cousins situation first. If they do go with Kirk Cousins, it would be tough for them to sign a headliner free agent like a Josh Sitton. Andrew Norwell obviously would be way out of the price range. And who's the other guy? I'm forgetting. There's a couple. Josh Klein is another guy. And Justin Pugh, that's the other name that I couldn't remember. So they wouldn't be able to sign guys like that because they just wouldn't be able to fit it in their salary cap wise and still be able to sign these guys to future extensions, their young core. But on the flip side of that, if they were able to sign one of the three guys that were here last year, now they would be able to go out and sign like a guy like Nate Solder, Norwell, Justin Pugh, or even a guy like Jack Uhort. So it's a weird offensive line free agency class, though, because the type of free agents or offensive line free agents that Spielman goes after, either they're young or they're looking for their first big contract. And what comes with this offensive line group in free agency is that it seems like everyone that's in the Vikings price range has some sort of deficiency or caveat to them. Just Justin Pugh, he's had the back injuries. He hasn't played a full season since his rookie year, I believe. Jack Muhort has missed 17 games the past 2 years. So there's a lot of – and Josh, even Josh Sitton, he's battled his injuries as well. I believe he's missed 5 or 6 games the past few years. So each one of these guys comes with a certain negative with him. Now, let's go back to the Kirk Cousins route. If they do sign Kirk Cousins, they would be able to sign some of these lower-tier offensive linemen. We're talking about like Asenio Calamente, who stepped in against the Vikings in the playoffs and did a very good job. Another name I like would be Zach Fulton, who is a guy from the Chiefs. He's played 46 games for them. He's played guard and center, so he has that versatility that they're looking for. So it's really going to be interesting to see which route they do go at quarterback, but it seems like it's going to be Kirk Cousins most likely right now. So a guy like Senio Calamente and Zach Fulton definitely will be options as those second-tier free agents that would be in their price range.
And so as you're talking about that, you know, you're mentioning, you know, Fulton and Simeo Calamete as options there. So I guess as you're thinking about it, is it Riley Reiff, rookie, Elfline, signee, and then Remmers? Or are you looking to bolster kind of both guard spots when you look at free agency?
Yeah, I think they need a plan for life after Berger and life after Easton because – I mean, we need to get an upgrade from Easton. Easton stepped in. He did well last year, but I think they can get better at that spot, at least bring in competition for him. And obviously, Joe Berger is on the fence right now. What I mean by that, he's getting old, and we don't even know if he's returning. And I don't know if Mike Remmers is going to stay at guard. I would like him to stay at tackle because he was playing at a high level there. So I'll say right now, I'll say Reiff, Easton with competition. Elfline obviously would be a center. Right guard is up for grabs. If they do bring Berger back, they should bring a draft pick or competition in for him as well. And you have room as that right tackle with Rashad Hill being your swing backup for both spots at both tackle positions.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, while you were talking there, you just pulled up the Pro Football Focus free agency guide and your man, Zach Fulton. I mean, he's coming in with some pretty strong numbers there. He's the number four center for pass blocking efficiency and the number two offensive guard going into free agency with for pass blocking efficiency. So, I mean, that might be the type of guy that either way that Spielman goes after, just because, like you said, like he likes those bargain signings in the trenches. And, you know, Fulton does have that versatility. So he might be the name that we need to put at the top of our list there. But I know, Miles, you know, we're talking about this trench stuff and these running backs and these quarterbacks here. We know we got to get you in here to talk about the receivers. We got to get you in here talking about the ones who really move the ball up and down the field, you know, making the quarterbacks look good and all that stuff, right?
Divas.
That's how it goes, right?
So, Miles, break it down for us. Which one do you want to start with first? You want to go tight end? You want to go wide receiver? Which position you want to dig into first and let us know kind of what's the state of the Vikings roster and then what you might do from a free agency standpoint?
We can jump into wide receivers first just because I think, you know, that's probably going to take me a little longer just because of how many receivers there are total usually on a roster.
That's very surprising that you pick wide receivers. Very surprising.
I mean, yeah, of course. So the current roster right now, you know, there's obviously the Diggs Thielen duo. I almost said trio. Duo. And then you have the three, four, five guys in Jarius Wright, Laquan Treadwell, Michael Floyd, who's now a free agent. Caleb Jones is on the roster, who I know they really like. So you kind of – and Stacy Coley, their seventh-round draft pick from last year who made the team. And they kept around over Rodney Adams, who was a fifth-round pick. So kind of tells you something there, in my opinion. I'm not sure how they feel about, you know, some of those guys like Caleb Jones and Stacy Coley heading into the season. I think you should still potentially look to find a filler for them because you never know if they're going to pan out or not. I'm always, you know, about bringing in the competition. But I think the biggest question mark is what they do. And it sounds like Jarius Wright's the kind of guy that's probably still going to be around. I think they would probably have already made a move on him to let him test free agency early if that was their plan to kind of get rid of him. So I think he's going to be around for another season, which is fine with me. Laquan Treadwell is the one question mark for me. I know I had high hopes for him going into his second season. I still, you know, believe that there were some opportunities missed for him, but, you know, it is what it is. But I do think that they're going to look, try to explore a trade market for him, try to see what they can find and try to, you know, upgrade that wide receiver three position. And, you know, for me, I think if they were to go that route, I think they could definitely do that in this free agent class. And they could kind of fill that hole and let Jarius Wright be that backup to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, that slot guy, and let him be that rotational wide receiver four. And if they wanted to move on from Laquan Treadwell, a few names that I think, you know, that fit perfectly and kind of what they need to do. Because like I've talked about for a while, I really think what this offense is really missing is a guy that's going to, you know, hit you deep. You know, that's a burner. Someone that you're afraid that's going to take the top off your defense, you know, at any moment. They don't have to play a lot of snaps to be efficient, but they need to play enough and they need to do enough to be efficient, like I said. So, like, a name that jumps out at me right away is a guy like Taylor Gabriel. He's just on the shorter side, but the guy's a burner. He's really good in the screen game, and he runs really good routes and is really good, you know, really good with his hands, even though for his size, he's not afraid to go across the middle and make contested catches. We saw him burn a guy like Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Like I said, his route running is really good, and I think he could come in and provide kind of what you thought a Cordero Patterson in terms of receiver route running wise, not obviously physicality, because they're complete opposite in that spectrum. But I think, you know, with the ball in his hands, he's really dynamic. Another guy that I think they could potentially look to bring back, but I think they should move on from is Michael Floyd. I don't really see – he didn't bring anything to the table. I think he had like 10 receptions this last year, and there really wasn't room for him. And when he got in the field, he was all right. He was a really good blocker, which is great. You know, you always need that. But I don't really think he's the kind of guy I'd want to bring back to this offense. Another one, though, that I think another, you know, not on the bigger side, but he's on the he's a downfield threat, is John Brown. He's had a lot of injury issues as of, you know, during his short career, but he's He's only 27. He's got a few concussions, but if, you know, he passes those and, you know, as long as everything checks out in his med checks, I think he could be a guy you could get on the cheap, maybe a cheap one-year prove-it type deal. I think he'd be a perfect candidate for that because he's got a lot to prove because he's still only 27 and he wants to cash in at some point, which I don't think is going to happen this offseason. So I think a great opportunity to kind of bet on yourself. Go to a team like Minnesota where, you know, if they do bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins or whatever you do, you have a guy, you're an offensive coordinator and John DeFilippo who's going to push the ball downfield. And that's where John Brown excels. So I think he's a perfect example of a guy, you know, a one-year prove-it deal, especially if you get a guy like Kirk Cousins, because you wouldn't have to pay John Brown a lot of money. And, you know, it's a high-risk, low-risk, high-reward type of situation. So I think that could be a really good one. And another one, he's not quite the burner you're looking for, but he's a really consistent, really good route runner. And he's still fairly young, and I don't think he's going to cost a lot of money. And he's Kirk Cousins' former teammate, Ryan Grant. He's been a guy I've been watching lately, you know, just kind of watching a little bit more Kirk Cousins' film. He pops on, you know, pops out of the, on the film when you watch Kirk Cousins, and he's getting himself open quite a bit. He found opportunities, you know, even when Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon, and DeSean Jackson were healthy, he was in the mix a little bit. And then when those guys left, he got the opportunity to step up and he scored 4 touchdowns, had over 500 yards last season. So I think he could be a guy who could, you know, he already has the chemistry with Cousins. So I think he could be a guy that could step in and be a rotational wide receiver 3/4 with Jerry's right. I think he'd be a really good fit in this offense.
What about Jerron Brown? Because he's the guy that's
he's a burner too. Yeah.
He's killed fantasy players for years, and he's always the guy, always a source of never-ending frustration because you never know which Jay Brown it was that scored the touchdown for Arizona. But, I mean, in terms of kind of his athleticism, he was kind of a freak on Player Profiler. His best comparable player is Marvin Jones. But when he got a little bit of run last year, he did some things. And, I mean, he's kind of up there in terms of you know, deep catching. His drop rate was pretty good last year. He's right in there sandwiched between – you know, Paul Richardson and Tyrell Williams on the wide receiver deep passing and the free agency guide. Is he someone that you might take a stab at? You know, just based on kind of what he's been able to do in the league and also kind of his profile as an athlete?
Yeah, I think that's another great name. Those Arizona Cardinal wide receivers not named Larry Fitzgerald, those guys could really run. And you could see that in that offense and what they did. They tried to stretch the field. And he's one of those guys who's in that rotation. And he's a bigger guy too. I don't think he's like overly big, but I know he's not on this. Let me just to pull it up just to make sure I'm not.
Yeah, I got it here. He's 6'2", 205.
Yeah, so he fits that you know, a little bit bigger build type of receiver, taller, can win. I don't know too much about him in terms of how he was coming out of college and everything like that. I've watched his games at Arizona a little bit, and I know he's a burner, but you know. He could be one of those guys, like you said, that he's going to come cheap. He's still, you know, his third season in the league, 28 years old. So there's an opportunity there for another one of those, like, one-year prove-it type deals, which I think this wide receiver group in general, there's a few of those guys. So you could definitely dip into one of those guys and see that opportunity where these guys are trying to cash in long-term, so they're going to take an opportunity on a cheaper one-year deal to kind of prove their long-term worth. So I think he's one of those guys that could be a really good fit too. He'd probably be more in that wide receiver 4 range. But if you're okay with, you know, Jerry Stripe being your wide receiver 3 or, you know, Laquon Treadwell potentially 2, I think that'd be a good guy to bring in. And then there's obviously some of those bigger name guys that I don't expect the Vikings to take a stab at, mainly just because of the quarterback situation and the two-headed monster they already have and having to pay Stephon Diggs at some point down the road. You know, obviously there's the Allen Robinson, the Sammy Watkins, which – I never even considered, and I don't think those guys would consider coming here anyways. Terrell Pryor's a guy you could potentially take a stab at. You know, I know
Jason hates Terrell Pryor.
I know he does. I know they tried to bring him in last year, but he was in Cleveland with DeFilippo, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's in 2015.
I'm just shocked that you, Miles, as a, you know, a wide receiver, a person who understands the skill and the time that goes into being an elite level wide receiver at this level, would think that just because this dude's big and fast, he would be able to actually like translate that to long-term success as a wide receiver. I just don't see it. Like, he's a freak athlete. But give me Cordarrelle Patterson before you give me Tara. Like, I mean, I see them as almost the same. They're just big, fast, athletic dudes who don't have the nuance you need to consistently be successful. Like, you'll see those splash plays because they're big.
I think Joe Pryor's as a receiver is better than Cordarrelle Patterson is, and that's saying something. He's put up over 1,000 yards in his career. I mean, he knows how to get. He's a downfield threat. Like what we've talked about. He's not Michael Floyd in terms of running.
He averaged 12 yards per reception last season.
Well, he only played. Yeah, he was terrible last year. We know that. Like the year before, I'm not advocating for him. I'm just saying that's another option since they looked at him last year that they could potentially do it again, and it would be at an even cheaper cost than it was in 2017. I'm not advocating for him. I'm just saying he could be an option.
Let's argue about a good receiver, though, because you just said something that that I find interesting. And I know that these numbers on here, they're guesses, they're whatever. But on SpoTrack, they have the market value calculated for Sammy Watkins right now at $5.9 million.
Is that it?
I mean, I'm sure he's going to get more than that. It even gets up to like 8, just based on his, you know, recurrent injury history and then his lack of production in LA and all that. Like, why wouldn't we?
I don't think he would, if anything. I'm not saying we wouldn't make the call. I think the Vikings would definitely wield that call and be like, hey, you know, what would be your interest in coming here? What would it cost? But if I'm him, I wouldn't want to come here. I mean, you wouldn't be anything more than a wide receiver 3. And Sammy Watkins isn't a very good talent. Like when he's healthy, he's an elite level route runner. The guy wins one-on-one. He's one of those guys that, you know, you could feature a passing offense around when he's healthy. But that's, like we've talked about, that's the issue is his ability to stay healthy, which he did last season. But he was more of he pulled defenses toward him and opened up things for, you know, Robert Woods and Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp and those guys in L.A. So I'd be curious to see, like you said. But on the open market, I think some of these teams really do need wide receivers. So I could see him getting more than that. I don't expect him to get $5.5 million. But he would be one of those guys, like you said, though. He could be one of those one-year prove-it deals because he's still only 24 years old. If he could prove it, you know, if he could play at a high level next season and do like an Alshon Jeffrey, he could cash in big next offseason because he proved himself healthy in 17. So if he can do it back-to-back seasons, I think that would – go a long way for him. But no, I don't expect him to come to Minnesota. Do I expect us to make the call? Yeah, I think you should make the call on any and all free agents that you're interested in. And I think he should be a guy you're interested in. So why not make the, you know, cold call to see what his agent says?
Yeah, I like that idea just because, A, if you can get him for kind of less than what you would expect his market value to be just because of everything that's gone on with him. I like it obviously because he's super talented. He's still very young. And it's kind of insurance for yourself if you can't figure things out with Diggs. Right. And, I mean, given the quarterbacks that we're talking about, really any of them, be it Kirk Cousins, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, or, you know, kind of other, I mean, they're all going to need as much help as they can get to go out there and kind of do what we want them to do. So,
Give me Sammy Watkins all day. I mean, yeah. I'm all on board.
Yeah. Sammy, Paul Richardson, like, I hope we don't just kind of of kind of these bigger end names because, you know,
there's some interesting names on the on the list. But I think the Vikings could, depending on how the quarterback situation, which we know that's the first move that they're going to make, which I think says a lot. I haven't really talked about this, but I think the Vikings not signing one of the top three, you know, the three Vikings, you know, quarterbacks from. There's Teddy squeaking his toy.
But yeah, I think started talking quarterbacks and Teddy was like, what you saying? Huh? Right. What's going on?
There's the three Vikings quarterbacks. I think since we haven't seen the Vikings sign any three of them before free agency, to me, if they wanted one of those three guys, they would have made that move already just because then they'd be in the mix. They'd know where the cap hit was going to be. They'd know what their next move would be. Then they could plan what their next moves are going to be in free agency. And they'd be planning for tomorrow to be about the rest of the roster and not their quarterback. So to me, that just says so much more about what their number one plan is, but we're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
No, we don't need to do that.
But no, all right,
bring us home on wide receivers here before we start talking about these tight ends.
Once you get the quarterback situation figured, I think you're gonna see the Vikings make a move for one of these, you know, 1 year cheap prove it type deals with one of these guys, even like a Marquise Lee or a potentially even a Dante Moncrief. Like, one of these guys are young, they're fast, you know, they're super athletic, they're super talented receivers, but they've been injury plague. But, you know, if they get that one season, like we talked about with that, like an Alshon Jeffrey prove it deal, they could cash in later. So I think we could see the Vikings make a move like that.
Okay. All right. And we knew this was going to happen. We give Miles the wide receivers. We know we're going to get there going and keep it going and going and going. But, yeah, you know, we need to talk about the other people who catch passes a little bit there too. And the tight ends. And, you know, one of the things we've seen, and, you know, the numbers have bared it out here, is that, you know, a pass to the tight end right now is probably, if not the one of the most efficient passes in the NFL. We, you know, saw this, unfortunately, in the playoffs when, you know, Ertz was wheeling and dealing on us there. And so this is one of those things that Vikings fans have been clamoring for. I know I've been looking for them to add, you know, a truly athletic move tight end to the arsenal. Based on what's going on with the free agents and this, you know, current roster, do you think this is the year that happens? Miles, break down the tight ends for us. What's going on in the roster? What's out there in free agency? And will our dreams be answered this year with us getting that tight end prospect or that tight end in free agency that we've all been hoping for so long?
I think this is the year that we're gonna see them make a move on a free agent, just because we saw it last, like there's these guys that they've brought in that they've wanted to bring in to be that number two tight end. That's a field stretcher that, you know, that can help a little bit with Kyle Rudolph. I think, you know, last year we saw them try to bring in Jared Cook. This year there's a few options. There's definitely the top like two or three guys, and then it kind of takes a huge dip after that. But I do, like I said, I think this is the year that they're gonna try to bring in somebody. I think it starts to me, and it's the history aspect of it, is Trey Burton. I think in terms of stylistic fit, our offensive coordinator fit, scheme, everything like that, I think he'd be the perfect guy here, even if you had to pay him a little bit more money to do so. Just because then, like we just talked about wide receivers, but if you were to bring in a guy like Trey Burton, he's like a wide receiver three in that aspect, because he runs a lot of wide receiver routes. You can move him all over the formation. And he's not going to help you in the blocking all that often. I think he's willing to, but that's not his strength, and we know that, and that's okay. We're okay with having a tight end who's basically a wide receiver do that, like, because that's what we need in this offense, because you need to help take things away from, you know, and open up things for guys like Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and even a Kyle Rudolph, which would help him. Trey Burton is really good in the red zone. And like I said, he's really good at stretching the field. So I think he's and we've seen that there's mutual interest, I think. But I know he's got a lot of suitors that are interested in him as well. But he's definitely would be my first pass catching call, like out of the guys that are available as pass catchers. He's the guy I'd be calling and trying to make a move for on day one of free agency, just because I think he's that talented and I think he could do that much for this offense. But then after that, you get down into the rest of the guys, and Jimmy Graham's going to cost too much, and he's 31. I just don't see him as a fit here. Martellus Bennett is another one of those guys I don't see for Zim, mainly. I don't see that as a fit. you know, then there's guys like Tyler Eifert, who he could be one of those, you know, one-year prove-it type deals as cheap. He's 27 years old. But he's kind of – he's one – I just see a team taking him – as a tight end one, just because he can do a little bit more of the inline blocking than what Trey Burton can. So I see a team taking a chance on him as to be that potential tight end one where he wouldn't get here. Then you kind of get into the guys who I think, you know, if they don't get a Trey Burton, there's Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's definitely an intriguing one. And I'm sure, Jason, he's pretty intriguing to you. I think he's the kind of guy that they should give a call and kind of see what kind of price tag he'd be. He's had some off-the-field issues in the past, but he's still only 25 years old. He's fast. He's athletic. He brings that Trey Burton-like to the table. I don't think he's as polished as Trey Burton. He's not as dynamic or as overall just flexible in terms of what you'd ask him to do, but he can do a lot of really good things. And then there's the guys like Ed Dixon, Luke Wilson. Those would be the other two guys on my list that I would like potentially call about as guys that can run a little bit and do something like that with the ball in their hands. I don't know. They don't really excite me. They're nothing special. Like I said, like after the top few guys, it definitely takes a huge drop off. So I think if they don't make a move in free agency, definitely I think they're going to make a move for a guy in the middle rounds of the draft.
Yeah, and as you said, Austin Seferian Jenkins is definitely someone that I am interested in. And it's funny because as you're talking about him, I looked him up on playerprofiler.com, and his best comparable player is Tyler Eifert. So, you know, he is that kind of old school, 6'6", 262, and his workout metrics were all above the 60th percentile. Super young, still only 25 years old. Like you said, he had the off the field stuff, but it seems as though he's got all that taken care of. So he would definitely be someone that I would hope we'd be able to, make a call on and bring in, because I think that type of tight end is what we need in this offense. Also funny, as we were going through this and you're talking about deep threats, I feel like we're all in agreement on this thing, but Gronk really is a cheat code. As I was looking at deep passing for last year,
greatest
Gronk is number 12 amongst eligible receivers at 15.7 yards per reception, which is a full yard, a little bit more than a yard and a half more than our own Adam Thielen. So,
Gronk's
a cheat code. Yeah, Gronk is a cheat code. All right, so tight ends.
Trade him. Kyle Rudolph and a second round pick for Gronk.
They might. Maybe they're sick of his antics and his partying and all that stuff, and we get him a top five tight end. We'll trade them back a top five tight end. So it's not as bad as people might think.
They know his body's falling apart, so they're like, we might as well trade him now.
We'll get him back with the top five. But I guess, Miles, do you have anything else on tight ends before we get this thing moving along to talk about some defense?
No, I think that kind of we hit the nail on the head that we think that they need to bring in a field stretching tight end to complement Kyle Rudolph and David Morgan.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is that if they are going to address tight end, I know that you mentioned that they might look to bring one in the mid rounds. I either want them to find one in free agency that is developed in the league, worked on the blocking and all those things already, or address it like early in the draft. Because tight end's one of those positions that we understand, like, the development curve on tight ends a little bit longer than it is for some of the other positions. Coaches make them work on the blocking and all those things before they see the field. They usually don't make an impact for even longer than wide receiver. So if they are going to go and address tight end, I want it to be one of these free agent tight ends that you mentioned, or, first, second round type tight end action for these guys coming
Never
out.
Never take a tight end in the first round, but yes, okay,
fine,
I agree.
Fine. We'll trade back and take one in the second.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying, though. Early.
Yes, I do.
Early.
I do.
All right. Well, let's talk a little defense. They say it wins championships. The Super Bowl told us something different this year, but it's still important. It's still something we need. And JR, it's still a place that, the defense was really good. So it's hard when you think about, a defense that was first overall in points, first overall in yards, to think that it has holes or things that you really need to work on or address. But again, the defense is a place that we're not talking a lot, in kind of Vikings fan world, Vikings Twitter. But I mean, there's some holes there that I know that you've kind of pointed out. So as you go and you look at, say the Vikings front seven, what is your plan? Tell me what the current roster looks like and how are you addressing it in free agency?
Yeah, so a lot of complaints have come out about the Vikings defense. And the main thing in the front seven is that they're playing too many reps, particularly on the defensive line. I looked it up and I tweeted it out a couple of days ago, the exact percentages that they did play. I think Everson Griffin was around 79%. Danielle Hunter was 77%. Linval Joseph and Tom Johnson were in the high 60s percentile as far as total reps that they played last year. And I compared it to the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon Graham was their highest percent total, and he was at 64% of their snaps throughout the year. Now, most of their starters didn't play the last few weeks of the season, so that does factor in a little bit into the equation. But those percentages that the Vikings had would still pretty much outweigh the percentages from the Eagles. So I think defensive line depth, particularly at three technique, opposite of Linval Joseph, I think that's where they need to improve at the most. There is some names out there, and I don't think it would be a headliner signing like a Sheldon Richardson or a Muhammad Wilkerson, of course, because, you know, you can't have stars at every position on the defensive line. You have to have a bargain bin guy at some point, because Danielle Hunter's still in his rookie deal, but they're paying Everson Griffin and Linval Joseph elite money. So that three technique probably is going to be either a draft pick or a bargain bin guy. And Jason knows what name I'm about to say. Dominic Easley may be an ideal name that they might look at.
Bring him out.
He has some knee issues, and that's been his biggest downfall to this point in his career. But when he is on the field, he has made some contributions in a positive way. A name that I've brought up is Jay Bromley from the New York Giants. He's a guy that got beat out by Dalvin Tomlinson last year, and he's not going to be a guy that's going to be a headliner name ever, but I think he's a very good depth piece, and he's a guy that can be that number two defensive tackle in a rotation. He's only 25 years old. I believe he was a third-round pick. He's flashed a little bit in his time with the Giants, but like I alluded to earlier, he did end up getting beat out by Dalvin Tomlinson last year. He's more of a run-stuffing defensive tackle as opposed to a consistent pass rusher, but he's a guy, like I said, I think can be a consistent number two defensive tackle in a rotation. He will bring really good competition with Jaleel Johnson. And another name who I think they will be very highly in is Boy Allen. I believe that's how you pronounce his first name. He's a Super Bowl champion with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Highly productive as a backup to Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan. He was that swing interior guy for them last year. He does have experience at both spots, so he brings tremendous value at not only three technique, but he can slide in to play one technique as well. Weighing around 320 pounds, so he can easily slide into that one technique spot. And, I mean, maybe you can sign him to even be Linval Joseph's backup. And he's a native of Minnetonka, Minnesota, so he knows where he's going if he does sign with the Minnesota Vikings. So I think Boy Allen will be somebody that highly interests them. And like I said earlier, I don't think this spot will be filled by a headliner name. I think it will be a bargain bin guy.
Boy, that is an exciting name as you go and you look at it there. When you're looking at the interior defender run stop percentages on Pro Football Focus there, he comes in number two of the available options. And as you said, he's coming in at over 320 pounds. But what makes that even more impressive is that he's coming in at number six on the interior pass rush productivity. So he's giving you a little bit of both there. So, yeah, that's definitely an intriguing name. I guess anyone else that you got out there for us? Being Chris Jones here from Kansas City. Is this the same Chris Jones that, like, Draft Twitter loved a couple years back, or is this somebody different?
No, that's somebody different. I wish it was that Chris Jones.
I was about to say. I mean, like, what's this dude doing on the free agency list?
He'd be the biggest free agent D tackle available.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, another name I forgot is Talatule. Now, I don't think they'll be highly interested in him because I think his price will be a little bit out of the price range, but he hasn't been that same guy since his rookie year, and I'm kind of conflicted on what exactly his market will be. Will they pay him based on maybe he can get back to being that rookie guy or what he showed during his rookie year, or is his market kind of stagnant? So I'm really interested to see what his market will be. I don't think he will interest the Vikings very much, though, because he's not a very good pass rusher, more of a run-stopping guy. And I think Mike Zimmer wants that penetrating up the field pass rushing three techniques. And so he already has that run-stopping guy in Jaleel Johnson already.
Okay. All right. All right. What about linebacker? Again, another position we don't talk about a lot because, I mean, I don't even know if we really need to. I mean, we feel like our starters are pretty solidified. Depth seems all right, but I guess is there anything there that you're looking at in terms of spots we can upgrade, or are we just going to say kind of we ride with what we got and we keep it moving?
I think they're fine at linebacker. They may draft a guy, but I don't see them signing a guy in free agency. I think they're pretty set with Barron Kendricks and then Gideon, who they just invested fourth round pick, I believe it was, in a year ago. So yep. I don't really see them bringing in a guy, an outside guy. I mean, maybe Emmanuel Amira maybe wants to come back for extremely cheap. I think they would be open to that. But I think they're better off maybe just drafting a depth guy in the later rounds. But I think they would be open to bringing Lemire back if he comes extremely cheap.
Well, and they still have guys like Kentrell Brothers and Eric Wilson on roster who both showed out in special teams last year, so they're both young, so they both could. I mean, I know they're not really the run stuffers that you'd hope because they're both a little undersized, but you know, both guys could potentially fill some of that too.
Yeah, I think they're pretty set at linebacker. I think that's one of the strongest position groups on the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, I think they're just missing. They'll add one more linebacker in terms, whether it's like a cheap vet free agent or bringing Lemur back or a late round draft pick.
Set the sun.
Okay, all right. Well then, Miles, bring us home. Talk to me about the DBs. What are we doing there? Because, you know, I mean, you know, Xavier Rhodes is still there. Trey Waynes, he was kind of better, but then the playoffs happened, and then Mac was okay, not great. Newman was really, really good, but he's older than I am. Sherrill's listed as a DB, but, I mean, no one really wants him out there covering people. And then what was that dude that we brought? Brock, the guy that we were super excited about Tremaine for about Brock, half a game, and then he got on the field and was like, oh, yeah, that's why they didn't want to keep him.
Our quarterback, too. He was our CB2, right?
Yeah. So defensive backs kind of seems like a spot that maybe requires a little bit more attention than we've been really thinking in terms of, you know, depth or – yeah, just I guess walk us through it. Tell us what it looks like from your perspective on what's on the roster. Are people playing different positions as we get into next year? Like, what are we doing with the DBs? And then, again, you know, with money being what it is there really anyone out there that you would consider to be an impact player that we'd even be able to bring in free agency?
Yeah, I think, like, if you look, we'll start with cornerbacks. You know, you obviously have Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes on the outside. They're the one and two cornerbacks. I thought Trey Waynes down the stretch played really well until, you know, obviously the late in the playoffs and, you know, the NFC Championship, but nobody played well that game. I think outside of those two, then you have Mackenzie Alexander, and we don't know if Terrence Newman's coming back. Word is he potentially wants to still, but I don't know what how that's going to all shake out. So if he doesn't, you're really looking at, you know, just Trey Waynes, Xavier Rhodes, and Mackenzie Alexander as your 1-2-3. And nobody behind them, because the rest of those guys are free agents. I'll even include him because technically he is one. But Marcus Sherrills, Tremaine Brock, and Terrence Newman are all free agents. So I think one way or another, I think, you know, whether they bring Terrence Newman back or not, they're going to look to bring in a free agent cornerback. I think the ideal situation would be to bring in a guy that's good in the nickel. I think that's the position that's really lacking, you know, what we're missing, you know, what we had from Captain Munnerlyn 2 years ago. Terrence Newman did a good job filling in that role for, you know, the first time in his career, but I don't expect that to be a sustained success for him. I just think if he were to come back, I think he's more the guy that you need to be a rotational guy. And I think that's what their hope was. Their hope was to have Mackenzie Alexander step in and be the nickel and Terrence Newman to be the rotational guy, but it ended up being the flip that flipped where Terrence Newman beat out Mackenzie Alexander and he had to play all those snaps. But I don't think you can continue to rely on that. He's kind of like Joe Berger in that way, where I don't think you can continue to rely on those guys to continue to play these heavy amount of snaps, and Tom Johnson to play these heavy amount of snaps without a backup plan. And I think for me, I'd want to go into the, you know, I'd want to go into free agency and grab one of these veteran nickel corners. And there's a few of them that are really good. You know, we've talked about a guy that we wanted last year who was signed for a cheap 1 year, $1 million contract. Nickel Roby Coleman, he went to the Rams last year and he's really good. He's a really good nickel player. And I think he would fit perfectly in this offense, this defense. He'd be the number one choice for me. I know Patrick Robinson, who was really good in Philadelphia last year. So there's the John DeFilippo knows him well. I think he could be another guy. He's, I think, right around 30. He's about 30 years old. But he's really good last year. I know it took him a few years to kind of find his stride, but he was a really good player. Ross Cockrell from the Giants, he was pretty solid. I think he could come fairly cheap too, as another one of those guys. And then there, you know, there's some of the cheaper guys that you could bring in, like a Pierre Desir or not Brandon Boykin. He's not any good.
I hate Ross Cockrell.
Do you?
he's the only guy to ever catch a pick six off of me.
Oh, it's personal.
That's why
it's
personal.
Yeah. I hate Ross Connacher.
There we go. So we definitely need to get him in here so that then we can talk about him.
Bring him in. Get him on the pod.
Right. For real, though. But then there's two guys that are the headliners in terms of, like, nickel corners. There's Brashad Breeland, who's from Washington. He's really good. He's a better nickel player, I think, than he was on the outside. I think he played better. They moved him this last year. He's 26. I think he's looking to cash in. I think he probably will get a pretty solid deal, but he could be a guy to keep an eye on. And then there's Aaron Colvin from Jacksonville. He's a guy coming from Oklahoma, coming out of college. He would have probably been a second-round pick if he hadn't injured his tore his ACL in the Senior Bowl. I thought he was really good coming out of college. So I expect him to kind of cash in there too. He's expected to be a high priority free agent in terms of cornerbacks, especially in nickel cornerbacks. And so I expect him to be one of those guys that gets a lot of money. But I think, you know, maybe they could make a call for him. And then there's EJ Gaines, who just came from Buffalo. He was traded from the Rams. He could potentially be a guy that they take a flyer on, but I'm not sure about that one.
All right. That it for corners or?
Yeah. Like I said, I think corner wise, I think they're definitely going to make a play for somebody. I think they need to. That's their depth, you know, whether Terrence Newman comes back or not, they definitely need more depth at that position. So I think I expect to see one guy in free agency and I expect to see a guy in the draft for corner.
Okay. And when are we trading for Earl Thomas?
Yesterday, actually, we just, Anderson Dejo, Earl Thomas, straight up.
Boom. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Rick hung with the phone. He wanted more, but he was like, you know what? I'll go for it. So, but no, that would be the greatest move the Vikings ever made if that was the case, but that's not happening. We know that's not happening and he would cost a fortune, which he'd probably still be worth it. Safety wise, I don't really expect them to make a move for a safety in free agency. I think they're going to keep their money where it is in terms of Anderson Dejo, who had a really good season this last year. I am an Anderson Dejo. I wouldn't call it a believer, but I think the idea that people believe that he hasn't been good the last two seasons is wrong. He was the 11th ranked safety last year, which says a lot in terms of how good the safety play has been in the NFL. I like him. I think he's going into his contract years, and he's going to be 31 or so, 32. So he's one of those guys that I think you draft his potential replacement, and you could potentially have it on the roster in Jayron Kearse and Anthony Harris, who they just brought. They signed Anthony Harris's restricted free agent tender. So that's good. I like Anthony Harris. But I could see them – I more so see them drafting a guy in the second, third, fourth round – range, probably the third or fourth round range, to get a safety and be the successor to Anderson Dejo, because it's one of those positions where we've heard Zim say, like, it's not the most important position on his defense just because he does have a Harrison Smith, but his chemistry with Sendejo's chemistry with Smith is really good. But so I do think, you know, if they were to go the route of the draft, they'd give that, you know, whoever that person is, that year to kind of figure out that chemistry and the playbook, because Zim's defense is pretty complicated, and we know how good Sendejo's been, and he's gotten better. So I think it's not that easy to just kind of replace Sendejo with somebody like Denoir Searcy or Ron Parker, who are the other headliner names. Trey Boston's another one I've heard. You know, he's 25 years old, but you'd have to pay a premium to get some of these guys. And I think that the kind of the numbers you have for Sendejo are kind of at a really good value in terms of how well he's played. So like I said, I don't expect them to make a move in free agency for his safety.
Okay. All right. So no Earl Thomas, but we're going to do one other thing to kind of wrap up this free agency preview. And good work from you guys. That was a lot of material, a lot of stuff, and you guys went deep. So thank you for that. I'm sure the listeners appreciate it. But I need from you, JR, one surprise splash signing that you think the Vikings might make. Someone that's off the radar. I mean, we've all heard, you know, obviously Kirk Cousins, Sheldon Richardson, Norwell, Everyone likes the guy at the very top of the list. But what's a surprise splash signing the Vikings could make that that you know would catch everyone off guard, but would also make us all really happy?
Surprise splash. I mean, I don't know if this would be a splash, but I think it's going to take some money to get him. And I'll go with Jack Muhort. I don't really know what his value is, but I think his agents would do a good job of getting value for him because he was one of the top guards in the NFL when he was healthy. And I believe 2014 and 2015, the last time he was healthy, he was playing at a really high level. So I'll go with Jack Muhort. That kind of would be a surprise to me.
Okay. Okay. Miles, how about you? What's a surprise splash? Someone that no one's really talking about right now. You might have just talked about him, but that the general population isn't talking about that, you know, might get signed and it'd be something like, oh, yeah, that's a good signing. We're glad Rick did that.
I think they make a move for a veteran edge rusher. And I think a guy like Aaron Lynch could be one of those guys. He's 25 years old from San Francisco, edge guy. He's more of just a situational pass rusher. But I think, you know, the more depth you can have in guys rushing the passer, I think they make a move in free agency to get it. A guy who would come somewhat cheap, but who could bring quite a bit of production.
Like it. I like it. I like it. All right. So we're going to bring this thing home real quick here. Rapid fire. One of you goes and the other one of you goes. We're going to get all the way through this list. And then we're going to, you know, we'll wrap it up. So rapid fire. JR. Teddy, where's he signed?
Arizona.
Miles Keenum, where's he signed?
Denver.
JR Bradford, where's he signed?
This one is tough. I have no idea.
Oh, come on, man. You got to give me something. You got to give me something. Come on.
I'll just go Arizona for him, too. Either him or Teddy's going to land in Arizona.
Jets.
Okay. That's a good one. Miles McKinnon, where's he signed?
Tampa.
Okay. JR Allen Robinson, where's he signed?
Chicago.
Oh, no. Boy. I don't want that. No. I don't want to take that back. Take it back right now. Miles, Sammy Watkins, where's he signed?
I think he goes back to L.A.
Okay. All right. Yeah, boring. Okay.
Or San Francisco. if the Rams don't get him back, I think San Francisco is the move for okay. him. If they all don't right. get Allen Robinson.
So, JR, I don't know, because we have this on the list, but I'm not sure. Norwell, where's he signed? Is he back in Carolina? What's the local media saying?
I'll be shocked if he doesn't end up with the Giants.
Okay. Okay. And last but certainly not least, Miles, Tremaine Johnson, where does he sign?
Raiders.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. I like it. I like it. I like it. All right. Well, that was a show. That was a lot. Thank you, gentlemen, for skipping Black Panther to come on and record with me tonight. It's much appreciated. Any of y'all got any projects coming up we can talk about? I guess same ones from last time we talked.
Bro, it's free agency week. Come on.
Yeah,
show. Free agency.
Yeah, no work, no work. All right, well, you know, I did drop an article this afternoon trying to come up with another way of defining franchise quarterback, looking at how QBs played versus, you know, their supporting cast and which guys were being propped up by the supporting cast, which ones were actually exceeding their expectations. So if you can, hop on over to climbingthepocket.com. Give it a read. Spoiler, Russell Wilson is really good. Also, our man Flip, he writes on Climbing the Pocket on occasion. He put up a case study, pun intended, about the Vikings quarterbacks and quarterbacks in general, looking at, you know, the threshold of a 65% completion percentage, yards per attempt, and looking at which quarterbacks he thinks we should sign. You should definitely give that a read. And last but certainly not least, Flip actually is trying his hand at the podcasting thing. 15 Minutes with Flip is the pod. He recorded his first episode today. Well, I don't know if he recorded it today, but he finished producing it today. Gave it a listen. It's good stuff. We're going to drop it on the station at some point this week. So definitely give that a listen when it comes out as well. And yeah, the rest of it is free agency. We'll be back with you guys later on in the week to discuss all that happened and to officially welcome Kirk Cousins to the Vikings is what it seems we'll be doing as well. And helping to console Yinka. So hey, that's what we got for today. My name is Jason Brown. As always, you can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. JR, Miles, thanks for coming through, talking some football with me. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.